Matthew 12:31, please. Now, first of all, when you're looking at the verse, who's talking? And look what he says. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner, all types of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. See, except for the one sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, we'll talk about in just a second. Except for that, every kind of sin can be forgiven. Murder could be forgiven. Now, you can't premeditate to do a sin and say, okay, after I do this sin, I'm going to go and I'm going to kill Dave, and then I'm going to ask God to forgive me and it'll all be taken care of. You can't premeditate to be forgiven, and so you're going to premeditate to go sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? But it says, all manner of sin and blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the one to come. Now, I want you to turn over to, give me a second. We're going to look at a few other passages that deal with this blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, okay? I want you to turn to Mark chapter 3 and verse 22. Mark chapter 3. Let's go to Luke 12:10 first, and then we're going to go back to Mark 3. So go to Luke 12:10. Are you there? Luke 12:10. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. We're going to come back to Mark 3, but I want to go to a couple other verses first. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. When they're about to stone Stephen, he's preaching. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said, one of the things he said was, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Realize, he is talking to people that said they loved God and loved the Word of God, and he is preaching unto them. If you go back to, that's in Acts chapter 7, you go back to Acts chapter 6 at the end, they tried to catch him in his words, and when he went to speak, it said he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't argue with what he was saying because it was so flowing with truth and the Spirit and power of God, they couldn't argue with him. So the whole Acts chapter 7 is him preaching, and because they're asking him questions, they're trying to catch him. They have not received God's way, which is Jesus Christ, though they were God's people. These were religious Jews, people that said they loved God, were trying to follow the Word of God, trying to obey the Word of God. And yet, when God sent them Jesus, because it was not His way, their way that they understood, they rejected it. And then, once they rejected Jesus, they had to begin to start saying things against Jesus and against His people and doing all kinds of things. That's how they ended up killing people and whatever. So He said, while I'm talking to you, He said, what you are doing is the same thing your parents have done, and that is, as God has tried to talk to you, you've become stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. In other words, you've separated yourself from God in your heart. You do honor Him with your lips, but your heart is far from Him. And He says, and you've uncircumcised your ears. You've cut them off from God. You won't hear the truth. You won't hear the truth. It's not that you can't hear the truth. You won't hear the truth. He said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. And if you look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, okay? You know, Shayla, you just blessed my heart. I'm just saying all this stuff, and I don't even have to say write it down to look it up later. You're just writing it down. You were just, it's almost like you had been here before, you know, and picked up on this stuff, you know. It is so good watching fruit of this over time. See, we expect things from people immediately. We want immediate results. God's not into immediate results. God is into the long term. And the long term is watching the things that we're teaching, the things that we're saying, watch them develop in your life. That is what's so cool. That's why it's so important to be where God wants you to be, so you could be hearing the truths, because they're line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You're just going to keep picking stuff up. Every week, you may just get one truth that sticks with you and kind of dances in your belly. One truth. But as you keep going, after a year, you've had, you know, 52 truths that are now that you didn't have the year before. You see what I'm saying? And now it's like, and that truth helps get you closer to Jesus, who is the truth. 1 John 5:16. Is that where I'm at? Yeah. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. If I remember correctly, when Sue did a study on this, there were 7 sins, or maybe there were 6. There was either 6 or 7 sins in the Bible that says it's a sin unto death. Do you know what one sin unto death is? No, not that movie. Okay. The 7 deadly sins. No, not that movie. Okay. Disobedience to parents. Do you know in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the law was so strict and so harsh that if a child was disobedient to their parents, they could take the child out, bring them before the elders of the city, and say, Janiah's being disobedient to me, and whatever I do, she won't obey. And they said, then I guess we're going to have a stoning party. She's going to have to get stoned. And the way she got stoned was not a way that you came back. You didn't have a hangover from this. It didn't make you feel better. There wasn't no munchies, okay? It went like this. They took the child out. They gave the child a chance to repent. The child was willful, stubborn, disobedient, a rebel in their heart. And the whole town would pick up a stone, and everybody would throw a stone. And when it was done, that child was no longer alive. That was Old Testament. In other countries, like Iraq, Iran, other countries, I don't know, Tom could probably tell you more than me, because he knows about stuff like that from Voice of the Martyrs and whatever. There are people that, like in China, if somebody, let's say somebody steals, they'll cut their right hand off. Huh? India? I don't remember, but there's different places. Iraq? Yeah, and they'll cut their right hand off. You get caught stealing one time, your right hand is cut off. In China, they would take people to court, and it was like a farce. It wasn't a real court. They just said, you know, we're going through the motions that we say we're taking you to court, but you're already guilty before we take you in there. And they would take them out and kill them. Like the next day. Like, that's it. Like, done. Now, let me answer Shayla's question. Let's talk about what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 3, verses 22 to 30. I believe that this will help make it real clear what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is. When you talk to different people, different churches, different denominations, different preachers, you'll get different ideas of what the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is. Okay? Let me give you a story, an analogy, Example. It's the word I'm looking for. Before I had met the Holy Spirit, but I had never come to a place of speaking in tongues. And my preacher said, my preacher, the one that was the one, I was in your place sitting there, and I had a preacher that told me, speaking in tongues is of the devil. And I said, but preacher, and I tried to show him verses and said, what about these verses? I used to go to him with verses all the time. I got a lot of different ideas because I got his opinions, what he thought. But his view was like this. He could only see what he could see. See, you can only see what you can see. There's things I see that some of you don't see yet. But there may be things that you see that I don't see yet. Okay? We all can only see like this. God sees it all. Do you understand? Are you with me? Now watch. My preacher said speaking in tongues was of the devil. Now there are those that speak in tongues that are of the devil. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. And what's coming out of them, the first time I met somebody that was possessed with a devil, and God had my wife and I minister to that person, and a devil came out of that person. Before the devil came out, she was speaking in these weird tongues. But they weren't the tongues that I speak in now. But they came out of her, and I mean, I walked in, and Sue's talking to this girl, this teenage girl, and this lady, and she jumps up and says, Harvey, come with me. And I walk out, and I said, what's going on? She said, this girl's possessed with the devil. And I'm like, come on, Sue. You're making this, come on, we're Baptist. We don't believe in that. Because my preacher had told me it's not for us today. It doesn't happen anymore. Okay, my preacher said it. That makes it right, right? So because have not I taught you, it's not right because I say it's right. It's right because God says it's right. And I'm not saying this to you to hurt you with your relationship with your parents. But I want you to understand something. I love both your parents. But it's not right because your mom or dad says it's right. But your job is to obey your parents whether they're right or wrong. You always obey your parents unless in so doing you're disobeying God. Okay? If they told you, no, I don't even want to go there. But anyway, you obey your parents. That's what God calls you to do, is obey your parents. And even if you do something that they're wrong about, but you obey them, God will bless you. He'll deal with them, but He'll bless you. But Dad, I think... Now you become a rebel. It's okay for you to think. So use that thinking to obey. Okay? Now, but just because they say something does not make them right. Okay? Now, any authority. So my preacher told me, hey, people aren't possessed today. You know, tongues aren't for today. He told me all kinds of stuff was not for today. And it took me years to get over that. Okay? So I walk in and Sue runs out and says, Harvey, come with me. This girl's possessed with the devil. No, she's not. I said, let me deal with her. She's going to Harvey. I said, because I knew everything, see? I was the preacher now. Okay? So I thought I knew so much. And my preacher had told me it's not for us today. So I walk in there, I start talking to her about God, and she's just sitting there, and everything's fine. And I looked at Sue and said, see? And she said, you haven't opened the Bible yet. Well, I'd been quoting the Scripture. I opened the Bible. When I did, she starts snarling. Whoa, I mean, you see animals snarl. You don't see people doing that, you know? I mean, they get other looks on their face, but you don't hear them snarling, growling. I go to put the Bible over to her to show it to her, you know. Here, let me show you this verse. When I did, she's snarling, she's growling, something like that. Did you practice before? Anyway, she reached out, grabbed the Bible, started scrunching it up, and she started saying words, but it wasn't like a voice, it wasn't her voice, it was like a male voice, and it was like scary. And I thought Sue was making this up. And this girl was not acting. She wasn't making this up. She was possessed. And later that day, within the next hour, two preachers started dealing with her, and she sat there in a chair, squirming in front of us, going like this. Foam was coming out of her mouth. And they were like commanding the devil to come out of her, and she's just like, rah, rah, and all this foam. You tried to make foam come out of your mouth. I mean foam, like she had soap in her mouth or something. I was just like, I was the new guy. I just got out of Bible college, man. I'm like, I didn't know about this kind of stuff. Scare me! Help! And when the preachers got done, the girl was just sitting there in her chair, just writhing back and forth, and speaking these words like, I mean, just like, I don't even know, just growling kind of, huh? She couldn't say Jesus. So she's sitting there doing this, and the preachers got wore out, and they just sat down. They were doing that because they were just yelling and screaming, come out of her, come out of her. And she would just, rah, rah, you know. She looked like she was in pain, and she told us she was later. But anyway, and then I said, God, what do I do? I'm just sitting in my eyes about like, you know, God, what do we do? And God gave me ideas, and I did what God said. I said, I want you to know that the one that's in you, I know one that's greater than him, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you turn to Jesus, Jesus will deliver you from that's inside of you. And I mean, because I just said, God, I don't know what to do. When I knew what to do, it scared the bejeebers out of me. You understand? And then I went, I don't know what to do. You know, and I had my two preachers that were my mentors that were acting, saying all this, and I was just waiting for something to happen, and all that happened was they got wore out and tired. They sat down huffing and puffing. You know? So then I said, God, what do I do? And he said, say this. And I said, I know one that's greater than the one that's in you, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you turn to Jesus, he will deliver you from this. I said, do you believe Jesus is God in the flesh? She goes, yes, yes. You know, she was like, I'm just telling you. And I said, you need to say, Jesus, I believe you are God in the flesh, and I am asking you to deliver me. And she ended up saying it, but I had to say it in short little, like, Jesus, you know, I believe, you know, and for her to say it, it was like a real struggle for her to even say those words. And she's snarling and her head is flinging back and forth and foam is coming out of her mouth and her eyes. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you just can't make it up. You know, it just, somebody couldn't be acting like this. You can't. And when she did, boom, it was like all of a sudden, and it just like, you didn't see something come out of her. You just saw it lift off of her. And her face was different and everything. The next day, that was on a Saturday, the next day, she came to our church. It was just like the demoniac of Gadara. She was clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus in her right mind. She came in and the smile of heaven was on her face. She just looked completely different. She was free. See, this girl, we then found out what had happened was she had gone into demon worship. She and a girlfriend of hers found a bunch of drugs that some drug dealers had stashed somewhere, like in the woods or somewhere, and they found these drugs. And the drug dealers went to the girl, and the girl wouldn't tell them where it was. They killed the girl. There was two girls. They killed the one. They were two teenagers. And then they didn't know who the other one was, but a few weeks later, or whatever it was, a week or two later, I mean, she's scared because her girlfriend got killed. And a few weeks later, somebody came to her and said, an adult, I think it was, I'm not sure, but somebody came to her and said, if you would like to talk to your friend, come with me. She goes, she's dead. She goes, I know. You want to talk to her? And then she took her to a demon worship service, like out in the woods, a seance, to talk to this girl, as if they could talk to him. What she was talking to was a demon. And anyway, the girl got hooked up into demon worship, and there was, they would kill things and drink the blood, and I mean, it was really bad. And then they said, if you ever don't come back, we'll kill you. So now she was trapped, and she didn't know what to do, and then that's where I had led the two little girls of this lady to the Lord on the street, and they were Catholic. They went back and told their mom, we met Jesus! You know? And anyway, so then her mom came to our church and brought the teenage girl and said, hey, I know God's here. I said, well, you go to that other church, why don't you take them there? Well, God's over here. I said, well, then why are you going over there? You know? So anyway, and that's how we ended up meeting the little girl and the teenage girl, and she ended up having the demon come out of her, and she was completely different. Now, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 3. But I'm telling you that to say this. Why was I telling you that? There was a... I'll come back to it when I remember. Okay. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said about Jesus, he hath Beelzebub, which is the prince of the devils, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. See, Jesus was casting devils out of people. He was healing people and casting devils out of people. So these Jewish leaders who did not understand what was going on, didn't believe in Jesus because Jesus wasn't following them, they said, well, the only way he's doing it is he's got the prince of the devils living in him, and that's how he's casting out demons. And Jesus called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? He said, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Or comes to an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil or steal from his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Note verse 30. This is how you understand what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. Now, I want you to listen to this commentary that I wrote down in my iPod. First of all, I want you to understand what blasphemy is. Blasphemy... I'm not going to give you all the Strong's words, but it is to hurt, to blast the reputation, to smite with words or reports. When applied to men. It denotes injurious speaking or slander. When used in reference to God, it signifies speaking impiously of His nature, attributes, and works. Or profanely, wickedly, talking wickedly or profanely about God. That's what blasphemy is. The blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. All manner of sin and blasphemy, injurious or impious speaking, mocking and deriding speech. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, even personal reproaches, revilings, persecutions against Christ, were remissible or forgivable. But blasphemy or impious reviling speaking against the Holy Ghost was to have no forgiveness. What is that? When the person obstinately or stubbornly attributed those works to the devil, which he had the fullest evidence could be wrought or worked only by the Spirit of God. When Jesus came along and cast devils out of a person, who can do that? Only God. You have to have the power of God to do that. You have to have the wisdom of God. You have to have the truth of God. You have to have the leading of God. There's people that have brought people to my wife and I and said, would you cast, they're possessed. Would you cast a demon out of them? And Sue and I would pray and God would say, they're not ready. If you cast the demon out right now, he said, you have power. But if you cast the demon out right now, they haven't made a decision to break agreement with the devil. They're making decisions to let the devil live in them. Maybe they're playing with a Ouija board. You're given license to the devil to live in you if you play with a Ouija board. If you do drugs, you are given license to the devil to come live inside of you or to influence your life, to control, oppress you, but it's to control you. You see, you get to choose. We watch movies. I started watching a movie. Sue says to me, what are you watching in there? I said, it's okay. I said, I'm watching this. They start saying or doing stuff, and I'm like, nope, can't do this because it's not God honoring. You understand? It's not like I'm watching all kids' movies or something, but there's some things that when you go to watch them, they're just demonic. Sometimes I'll record like an action movie or something like on AMC, and they'll have, see, I don't ever watch commercials, okay? Well, they have commercials, like when I'm fast-forwarding it, about this series called The Walking Dead. I have not even watched it, seen anything to do with it, but just seeing the commercial as I'm going through it real fast, it's like, whoa, that is totally demonic. It's like, I mean, even I can pick that up. I don't always pick that stuff up. My wife can pick it up, and Janiah can pick it up. Janiah, when she was growing up, she was a little kid, this big, she used to see demons, see them. We thought it was her imagination because we were Baptists. We didn't believe in demons, you know. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is when somebody stubbornly attributes, what's another word for attribute? Gives credit to the works that are being done through somebody that in the power of God to the devil. And the reason is because they don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to receive the truth. They're not willing to move in the truth. They've already got their mind made up of what's right. You see, there's going to be people that are, we already have it happen. We were having a meeting. God was moving. All these people came to this meeting and God was touching them. And they came from all different kinds of churches. And God was there moving and touching people and people were getting healed and lives being changed and people being loved on. They start calling their own preacher when they left the meeting over the next few days. They start calling their preachers of all these different churches. They're calling their preacher. She went to one church, he went to another church, he went to another church, so on and so forth. They weren't used to experiencing God like this. They were just used to going through normal church. Well, God showed up in this meeting. So they go back to their preacher and they say, hey, preacher, here's what's going on and here's what I'm thinking. And their preacher didn't know what to do with it, so he said, like my preacher, you say, that's not of God. Okay? Now, to say, is that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? That's between God and them. I'm not telling you that is. But when somebody, because they don't understand and they're doing that, but there's going to come a time where they do that to an extent, because I'm believing there's degrees of that, and they're going to come to an extent of where when Jesus was raising people from the dead and casting demons out of people, they said, he's doing it by the power of the devil. Well, the devil, Jesus is going, do you know how dumb that is? He's like, if the devil had a kingdom, he's going to kick people out of his own kingdom that are doing his work. You know? Okay, you're obedient to me, so I'm going to kick you out. Like, you know how to spell dumb? Well, in your case, use capital letters. Okay? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, dude. Like, you got a bad case of the dumbs. You know what I'm saying? But they were doing it because they were rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting the light. They were rejecting the message. They were rejecting the truth because Jesus wasn't doing it their way. And though they said they followed God, do you know why Jesus had to come to the earth in the first place? He had the Jewish nation. They already had the whole Old Testament. Why did Jesus come? Because they weren't listening. They said, we've read it, we've memorized it, and we're self-righteous and setting ourselves up as God and the ones who's right. That's why I say to you, please, some of you have just blessed my heart when you've got this. And it's so obvious to me because I watch lights go on. You become completely different when you get this one thing. Take everything you think you know. Everything that you have experienced, everything you've been taught, and take it to the cross and lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, all this stuff that I've known and been taught as a Christian could be wrong. Jesus, if it's right, your Spirit is going to bear witness and you're going to bring it back and give me the truth. But Lord, if what I have taken in as truth is only part truth, I want you to reveal the error. But see, what happens is so many of you come here from other churches and we've got infiltration of error into the truth that we have. But it works for you pretty good what you've learned because it's better than not having any religion at all, not having any God at all. But you've got part God. I've got part God. I have not arrived. I don't have it all. I keep learning all the time. I'm blown away by what I learn because I still got pride in me. And when I learn stuff, I go, wow, I thought I knew. And God's like, uh-huh. And you didn't, did you? You know, but he doesn't say it like that, but he's like, because he's real kind, you know. But it's like, he just smiles. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is when somebody basically is stubborn against God, against truth, against light, when it's obvious that it's God. But it doesn't matter how many people say it. They're not listening. They've already got their mind made up. And they attribute what's going on to the devil. It must be the devil. Instead of admitting it's God when it's obviously God. Okay, watch this. Let me just give you an idea. And this goes along with something when you were giving your testimony, okay? I want every one of you to understand something, okay? Watch me now. You are on a road. You are on a path. I believe every one of you has made a decision that you want God. Now, I'm standing back over here and I'm looking at the road that all of you are on. I'm on the road too, but I'm looking at the road that you are on. Every one of you is at a different place on that road. Some people are on a different road, and their road is to the devil because they don't want God. They don't want truth. I'm not talking about their words, because there's people that tell me they love God, and I go, where? I don't see them in your choices. I don't see them in your conduct. I don't see them in your relationship. You just say words. But you hurt people. You're all about self. You know, it's like and you don't ever want to go to God's house or read God's Word or listen to God's Spirit, how do you love God? But there's people that want to, because what they do is they have their own idea of God. What is your concept of God was a question last week. Because everybody has different ideas of God. I meet people that are other denominations. I met a lady one time, I did her tub, and she used to drive nuns around. You know, that's what she did, was she thought she was doing them a service, and she was. She was using her gas, her car, and she would go there and say, where do you need to go, sister so-and-so, or whatever, and they would say, well, sister so-and-so needs to go here, and the other sister needs to go there, and the other sister needs to go here, and she would take them around, and she felt like she was going to heaven because she was doing this. And I asked her, so did you need Jesus to die on the cross for you? Well, look at, God's got to look at all the good things I'm doing. I said, your offering, is it equal to the blood of Jesus? She's crying while she's telling me how good she is. Don't you see how I laid my life down? I said, don't you see how he laid his life down? I said, if you're doing it to earn heaven, you're not going there. But she was still on the road to God. But she wasn't saved yet. Do you understand? There are people in this room. There may be people in this room that you're not saved yet. You know about God. Maybe you've prayed some prayer. Maybe your parents had you pray a prayer. Whatever. But maybe you don't know God yet. But as with the light you have, you're walking in that light and you're trying to go to God and you're here and you're listening. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that are like that. They're not saved. They don't know God yet. I've met thousands of them. Don't know God from a donut. What do you got to do to go to heaven? And they've got as many different ideas as hairs on your head. I mean, I hear all these different ideas of what you got to do to go to heaven. And very rarely do I hear the name Jesus come out of their mouth. I is what I normally hear. I this, I that, I. My preacher said to me, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Now, is Harvey a shy, quiet, have to pull everything out of him person?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Or is Harvey more outgoing and like in your face with stuff? Well, guess what? I know. Wait, y'all are just going to have a real hard time getting close to God if you don't admit the truth, okay? So here we go. So guess what Harvey did? I went around and told people that talked to me about speaking in tongues. I told them it was of the devil, including my mom and dad. No wonder we had a fight every time I went down south to visit them, because I told them what they were into was of the devil. I went to their church. It was scary, but it's okay. But I told them it was of the devil. I told them it was of the devil. I went up to their preacher and told them it was of the devil. What I want you to understand is we're all, like, we're on a path toward God. Now, there's some people you're going to meet, they are definitely on a path toward the devil. They don't care about God. They don't want to hear about God. They're like, their life is dark. I mean, you get around them, you know who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a person, I'm saying. I mean, but you've met people like that, and it's like they are definitely on a path away from God. Many people that are not saved are still on a path toward God. Those are what I call Acts chapter 10 people, like that lady that drove the nuns around. She was doing everything she knew and had been taught, and she had laid her life down as far as she knew. I wasn't mad at her. God's not mad at her. God loved her so much that God put a witness, a true witness into her life to say, hey, it's Jesus on the cross. Those good things you do, they're not going to pay for your sin. The only payment for sin is death. So God put a witness in her life. God's not mad at her. You need to understand, everybody is on a path. I mean, most people, many people, are on a path toward God. They may not ever get to God, because they stop at different levels. But God works through people. See, Jesus said, Matthew 4:19. We just taught this to the kids upstairs. Follow, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you follow Jesus, you will become a witness. You will become a fisherman, whether you ever want to skin a fish or not. You're going to become a fisherman because you're going to fish for the souls of men. You're going to be after people to witness. You are going to hear things, and even if you're not doing what's right, you know what's right. You want to tell them because you're following Jesus. You're after Jesus. When you follow Him, He promises. He is going to make us fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. I don't know what key that was, but somebody's got a key ring around here. You can find one. But I just giving you the words, okay? Yes. Go ahead.
You said you went down to your
parents' church and that's why I brought it up. Okay? So what did God do? Did God just smile and say, oh, he's got a bad case of the dumbs. He doesn't know. Or did he say, oh, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, out of the pool, going to hell? What? What's the answer? Here. What do you think the answer is? And I'm going to show you that in a passage. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. I wanted to finish reading this, but I'll take you there in a minute and show it to you. Hang on. So what happened when I was telling all these people that it was of the devil, people that were speaking in tongues? I told them it was of the devil, and I mean I would go up. When my parents took me to a few different churches, I went and made sure I told all of them, this is of the devil. So what happened? I want you to know. Because does Harvey love God?
Yes. Did you love God then? Yes.
Did I love God then? Yes. And I was zealous, right? But zeal without knowledge is harmful. Okay? But I was a man follower because my preacher said something, so I thought that was the truth. But when I read the Bible, hang on one second. When I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit of God that he was talking about, the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost we're talking about, kept dealing in me. Even when I said the words inside, he was going, and I'm going, Why do I feel that way? I'm saying what my preacher said, and it took me a long time to learn that just because my preacher said it didn't make it right. See, when I got in church, I was taught to be obedient before I ever got in church. Remember I told you I had a spanking every day in my life? Well, I was taught to obey. And obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Guess what? I had it beat into me. Okay? So I was a very obedient person. So when I got in church, man, and my preacher would say stuff, I just thought that was it. He said stuff. You know, that's the truth. Well, I didn't know that he also said some stuff that was his opinions that wasn't the truth. Okay? So here's God, and he sees Harvey going around making havoc of the church, you know? So what did God do? What did God do with the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus? What did God do with Saul? He was making havoc of churches, was he not? He was killing them, wasn't he? So what'd God do? Oh, you mean he didn't cut them off and say, Paul, Saul, I'm taking you home. I'm sending you to hell right now. No, God is long-suffering. And what God did was even the people, when he would go to put them in jail and stuff, it was messing with them because they weren't fighting him back, a lot of them. They had a different spirit about him. They were telling him they forgave him. People were witnessing to him. And finally, but Saul wasn't getting it. You know why? Because he knew this word, because he was raised and he was very religious. And he was more zealous than all of them, and he had a lot of knowledge. He was had a doctorate in Bible, okay? Well, so while he's riding his high horse down the road, in Acts chapter 9, I think it is, God knocked him off his high horse. God showed up, and it said he saw a light that was brighter than the sun, because it wasn't the S-U-N, it was the S-O-N. And he fell from his horse, and he heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Harvey, Harvey, why are you making havoc of the church? Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And I said, "It can't be you, God, because my preacher said this. Isn't he a man of God?" He said, "Yeah, but he missed it in this area, because he's got mixture of opinion with truth." And he heard that somewhere, and he's just saying the same words too. So God knocked Saul off his horse and starts having a conversation with him. Well, guess what God did with Harvey? He knocked me off my high horse. And God, while I'm going around doing this, God's dealing with me and kept bringing all these tongue-speaking, spirit-filled people into my life. And I kept taking the Word of God and just chopping them up, because most of them were just giving me a bunch of experiences. They're telling me all these experiences. They weren't giving me the Word of God. Some of them were trying to give me the Word of God, but Harvey was a knucklehead. Harvey was somebody who knew a lot, and I couldn't hear it so good. So God, because He loved me so much, He just kept sending more and more and more. I mean, it was like every time I'm turning around, there's another one. What are they, coming out of the closet? Where are all these people coming from, you know? And they all were coming in my life, and they're all talking to me about speaking in tongues. And God, the Holy Spirit, was dealing in my heart. He was dealing in me. Harvey, this is me. So He had me start studying what this being filled with the Holy Spirit. I kept telling God, He put a desire in me. Harvey, I want you to be filled with my Spirit. God didn't come to me about, "Harvey, I want you to speak in tongues." It's the least of the gifts. What does it matter if you speak in tongues and you're not filled with the Spirit? What matters is that you're filled with the Spirit. So there was a preacher that was a Baptist that wrote a book. It was 550 pages long about being filled with the Holy Ghost, or the power of Pentecost, or something like that. It had two titles. And it was a 550-page book, and it was written by a Baptist. And because it was a Baptist, I could hear him. And as I read it, hungering, God put a desire in me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I met the Holy Spirit in 1983. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and met Him, and He became a person to me, and I got filled with Him. And then later, it still was 12 years. Then I quit telling people it was of the devil. Okay? Because inside of me, I could hear Him better, and I realized, hey, there's more to God than I realize. And I quit fighting God so much. I still fought God for a while, okay, but not as much. When I say fought God, I resisted as God was trying to take me into more truth. I resisted, okay? And God's not like bringing us to a place and saying, okay, if you do one little thing here, boop, I'm sending you to hell. There is a verse that I'd read with you. It'll probably be next week since we're losing the crowd. But it talks about, He says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." See, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. There's another verse, 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So even these Jews that were religious and were arguing and fighting against God, God kept sending the Holy Spirit to deal with them. That's why they got so mad, because they were fighting against God while God's telling them one thing and they're still trying to hold on to what they were believing. And see, that's the thing, is people hardening themselves against the truth. Hardening themselves against the working of God inside of them. Hardening themselves against light being able to penetrate the darkness they have. Because I'm holding on to this and I'm already got it all. That's why we don't ever want to be at a place where we think we know it all. And that's why we always want to be at a place of saying, not my will, but thine be done. What, God, I think I know what he's talking about, and I think it's, I've already got this, but is there more? And God's like, yeah, what you've got is only a level. Don't you understand I'm God, and I've got like way deeper levels that you'll never even get to? And I want to give you more. But it's like, how much will you receive? But anywhere along the line, we can start hardening ourselves. Okay? By pride hardens us from truth. You see what I'm saying? Blocks truth or light coming in. Does that make sense? I want you to remember something. The whole focus of what we're talking about is God is, I wouldn't be talking about it if I didn't feel like God wants us to. Our goal in the study of Matthew 12:31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, is because of this. How to deal with sin. And a major part of that is how we think about sin. Now, something that Wayne wrote to me in an email this week, and I thought it was really good, and he said, and it was basically brought a balance, but he said this, I have glasses. Okay. That's not what he said. Let's see. I have deviated from God's plan for me, Wayne said, by agreeing more with rejection, fear, and self-doubt, while you have agreed more with pride and self-sufficiency. See, what, and that's true, except for I did the first part Wayne talked about, and then as I started obeying the word, and people were coming up to me and saying, and my wife would say, how do you do that? And I say, what? She said, you just read the Bible and then do whatever it says. Well, I had discipline. My wife had never had a spanking in her life. She had no discipline. If she didn't want to do it, she didn't do it. It didn't matter what the consequences were. Well, I don't want to do it. So what does that matter? I mean, like, to me, it's like, what does that matter? You know, it's like, you're going to do it, you know? You need to do this. Well, I don't want to slow down. I just want to drive fast. What does that matter? That's just what you want. The speed limit says this, and then people want to blame the cop because he gave them a ticket. It's a conspiracy theory. They're all out against me. Well, because you broke the law. You know, but they want to blame the one who punished them because they broke the law. Do you understand? They're just doing their job. I want you to understand, this is about how to deal with sin. This whole series is about how to deal with sin. There is a lot of thinking that we have that is not true. You see, Wayne was talking about he has a perspective. And he was afraid to look at something like, what am I missing? And I look at that as God. I put it in God's court. We're going to talk about next week, or one of these weeks, we're going to talk about these three words. No navel gazing. You've probably never even heard of that. No navel gazing. And what that means is self-inspection. See, when I said, what am I missing? I don't mean for Wayne or for you to go, God, what am I missing? And you think about it. What am I missing? What am I missing? Maybe I'm not doing this. Maybe I'm not doing that. That's navel gazing. You're trying to figure it out. What you need to do is come and bring it to God and say, God, what am I missing? Here's my notebook. What am I missing? Write it down. And if I'm not missing anything, that's fine too. But it's, you could reword it by saying this, God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me to see? That way, you're putting it in God's court and then you don't think about it again. God, the Holy Spirit, will begin to work inside of you and He communicates in our spirit. And He'll begin to bring in your spirit what He's wanting to deal with you on. You don't have to figure it out with your mind. If you start trying to figure it out, you are going to hurt yourself. Because you're always going to feel defeated. You're always going to feel like you're wrong or you're bad. Or you're going to be full of pride and unteachable, thinking I've already got it all. I know it all. I know it all. Too bad everybody else doesn't know it all. Because I know it all. You know? So we either get lifted up with pride or get sunk in defeat. You can't inspect. That's why it says, search me, O God. You ask God to do it and then don't worry about it. If you give God an open door, an invitation, He will accept it. Okay? But this whole series is about how to deal with sin, because every one of us has to deal with sin on an everyday basis. And there's a lot of thinking that we have that's wrong. See, when we have something like somebody in here, when I said, all manner of sin and blasphemy should be forgiven unto men, and they immediately said, not blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Okay, that's fine. But there's people that think what blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is, they think there's, they think that they can sin, there's an unforgivable sin. A lot of people think divorce is an unforgivable sin. Other people think murder is an unforgivable sin. Sexual sins, unforgivable sin. I mean, whatever. They'll think it's an unforgivable sin. Well, I sin too bad. And see, the reason I'm dealing with you is first to help you get free. But don't you understand that there are so many people that God is going to bring into our lives? Now listen to what I'm saying. Why would God give a building that big to us few? What's God up to? Do you understand? And guess what? You first need to understand these truths of how to deal with sin, because it will set you free. It will bring you to where you can look at stuff and not be afraid, and you will experience more freedom because you will experience more truth. But once you receive it and it starts working for you, you're going to be able to help those people around you and the people that God brings here, because you are called to be a minister. You are called to minister truth. Minister Jesus to other people. Okay? But you have to receive it first. This whole teaching is about how to deal with sin. It's just we're coming at it from different aspects. And as people have questions, I want to stop and deal with the questions, not bypass stuff and do whatever I think is next. Okay? Jesus, thank you so much. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to learn to cooperate with you, and we ask you to continue to reveal truth, reveal your word, and bring us into more light that we could walk with you, know you, understand you, and be able to release you to others. But Lord, I ask you first to do it in each one of us. And we say thank you, Jesus, that that's already your goal. Amen.